Appreciate you being here. Appreciate the good prayers and the good song service. There's not a doubt in my mind that you have read many times 2 Kings chapter 5, the first 14 verses. And you know what the Bible says about Naaman. You know what the Bible says about this leper. We appeal to this scripture, this passage, many times to talk about things such as the necessity of obeying God and the need for authority for the things that are done, that we've got to do what the Lord says. And we'll talk about that some in the lesson this morning. I want us to think about for just a little while about Naaman and lessons that can be learned from this man. Romans 15:4 says the things written aforetime were written for our learning. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and in verse 11, the Bible says that these things happen unto them for examples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world have come or are come. And so all the things that we learn about in the Old Testament are valuable. And it's important for us to think about. There's several things that we can learn from Naaman the leper. And so I just want us to take a look at a few of them. The first one that I want you to think about with me this morning, the lesson, the fact that God's ways and man's ways are not the same. Did you know that? The Lord's ways and man's ways are not the same. When you look at chapter 5 and verse 11 of 1 Kings, Naaman was wroth and went away and said, "Behold, I thought, he'll surely come out and strike and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and strike his hand over the place and recover the leper." Maybe Naaman did think that. The text says that he did. He says that he thought that. But yet he learned very quickly, and we need to learn very quickly, that the Lord's ways and man's ways are not the same. And I'm still battling with upper respiratory infection, if you haven't figured that out already. And so you put forth the patience on that, I ask you, and we'll get through the lesson just fine. But God's ways and man's ways are different. In Isaiah 55, verses 8 and 9, we learn that God's ways are higher than man's ways, and His thinking is higher than ours. As the heavens are above the earth, as the east is from the west. And so we need to learn real quick that God doesn't always see things like man sees things. In Numbers 23:19, the first part of that verse says, "Behold, the Lord God is not a man." And so we've got to quickly learn that God doesn't always view things the way that we view things. Hopefully, Naaman figured that out. And so that's a lesson that we can learn from 2 Kings chapter 5, the first 14 verses, that God's ways and man's ways are not always the same. I want to suggest to you, secondly, that we can learn from Naaman the leper that when things seem like it's the case, doesn't mean that it is. The Bible over and over talks about that. Like Proverbs 14:12, "There's a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death." In Proverbs 16, verse 2, he talks about that the ways of man are clean in his own eyes, but the Lord pondereth the heart. And so, a way just might seem to be right, might feel that it's the right thing to do. We might believe something to be the case, but that doesn't mean that it's so. And so we can learn from Naaman the leper that just because we think or see something to be the case doesn't mean that it is. "Behold, I thought, but that wasn't the case." I want to also suggest to you, number three, that we can learn from 2 Kings 5, the first 14 verses, concerning Naaman and the leper, that man is spiritually dependent on God. I want to suggest to you that we are dependent upon God in all areas of life. When you think about Jeremiah chapter 10 and then verse 23, turn to that passage if you will. Jeremiah chapter 10 and in verse 23. "O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It lieth not in man that walketh to do what? To direct his steps." We're dependent on God. I've made that statement many times from this pulpit. We'll continue to do that. We've got to seek the right ways of the Lord. Like Romans chapter 4 and in verse 3 says, "For what saith the Scriptures? What does the Bible say concerning the matter? We're not going to figure it out on our own. It takes God's Word to get us to heaven. We think about Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths or thy steps. And so again, we're dependent on God, not only spiritually, but physically, as we'll talk about, Lord willing, in the lesson this evening, from the book of Matthew chapter 5 and then verse 45. And so we learn from Naaman the leper that we're dependent on God. This man needed the instruction for his cleansing. And we need the instruction that God will give for the cleansing of our souls today, which, by the way, takes place through obedience to the gospel. Someone may say, well, how can I have my sins washed away? Well, it's by the blood of the Lamb, Revelation 1:5. But it's when we obey the gospel of Christ. Jesus said, behold, you are clean through the word that I've spoken unto you, John 15:3. And in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 18 through 25, he talks about saying, you have purified your souls. Where purify means to make clean. Purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love the brethren. See that you love one another with a pure heart. And he goes on to talk about the gospel of Christ. And so we learn from this account of Naaman the leper, 2 Kings 5, that we're dependent on God. Couldn't do it himself. The king couldn't do it. But it's when he obeyed the instruction of the man of God. Number four, I want to suggest to you that we learn that you cannot substitute God's ways. Too many times, individuals in too many ways, places, and areas attempt to take God's way out of the way and substitute it for man's own thinking. That won't work. It didn't work in the days of Naaman the leper. It hasn't worked since then, and it won't work from this day forward. You can't substitute God's ways. In Deuteronomy 4, verse 2, thou shalt not add to it, and thou shalt not diminish from it. In Revelation 22 and in verse 17, to not add to or take away from the Word of God. We see the seriousness of that in Galatians chapter 1. Remember that in verses 6 through 9? He had marveled that they were so soon removed from Him who called them to the grace of Christ into another gospel. Yes, the word gospel means good news. Good news concerning Christ. Not just limited to the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. You learn that from 1 Corinthians chapter 15, the first four verses. But they were removed from that. From that system of faith, the Christian system. Trying to go back and serve under elements of the Old Testament law of Moses. He says, I marveled about that. They are so soon removed from Him. But though we are an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which you have received, let it be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. Add thou not unto his ways. Proverbs 30 and in verse 6. Lest he reprove thee and thou be found a liar. Can it be said of us today that we've been substituting God's ways for man's ways? We learn from Naaman the leper that won't work. He could have done a host of other things, but those things would not have worked. And he would not have had the benefit of being cleansed of his leprosy, except he do what he was bidden. I want to suggest to you as well, number five, that God's blessings are not for sale. Can't be bought. Notice, if you will, in 2 Kings chapter 5 and then verse 5, the king of Syria said, Go, and I will send thee a letter. I'll send a letter unto the king of Israel. And he departed and took with him 10 talents of silver and 6,000 pieces of gold and 10 changes of raiment. He could have sent a lot more than that, but it wouldn't have bought God's blessings. They're not for sale, are they? We learn from Acts, the 8th chapter, that things of God are not for sale. Remember in the account of Simon, who had spent time bewitching the people with his sorcery. He heard the preaching of Philip, and when he heard it, he believed it and obeyed it by being baptized for the remission of his sins into the one body of Christ. But then when Peter and James came to Samaria, and they laid their hands on the people, and the Holy Spirit was given, Simon said, "Give me this gift that on whomsoever I lay my hands, he may receive the Holy Spirit." Remember the response that was given to him? Look what Peter stated. He offered him money. Verse 18. Peter said unto him, now watch this, "Thy money perish with thee, because thou hast thought that the gift of God may be purchased with money. Thou hast neither part nor lot in this matter, for thy heart is not right in the sight of God. Repent of this thy wickedness, and pray God if perhaps the thought of thine heart may be forgiven thee." It doesn't matter what was sinned on this journey of 2 Kings chapter 5. The blessings of God were not for sale. In 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 18. "Seeing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation, traditions, and so forth." Peter, what were we redeemed by? But with the precious blood of Christ, he talks about 1 Peter 1 and then verse 18. This same is still true today. But there's other things that we learn concerning Naaman the leper from 2 Kings 5. And that is that getting angry does not change God's will. Notice, if you will, verse 12. "Are not Abana and Pharpar rivers of Damascus better than all the waters of Israel? May I not wash in them and be clean?" Now watch this. "So he turned and went away in a rage." No matter how angry and upset and out of place he got over that, it didn't change, did it? You know that's still true today? All the yelling and screaming and kicking against and feathers getting ruffled doesn't change anything. And so folks just need to go ahead, including myself, need to learn it and learn it well. And the better, faster we are that we learn it, the better off we'll be. Go ahead and get angry and let the feathers die down. It'll still say the same thing. The instruction will still be the same way. In Acts 7, verse 57, in the first century, people got upset and angry and mad at the preaching of the gospel. You read in that chapter about the preaching of Stephen. The Bible says when they heard these things, they stopped their ears, they gnashed on them, they picked up stones and stoned them to death, executed them, because they didn't like the things that they were hearing. But what Stephen said on that occasion is still true even today, right? In Psalm 119:89, "Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. The flower falleth away, and the grass thereof perisheth, but the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the Lord is preached unto you." 1 Peter chapter 1, and then verses 24 and 25. And so go ahead and let people get upset. Let them get angry. Let them befriend you, or whatever it is that they do today on social networks and whatever it may be. It is still say the very same thing, and it will not change. But we also learn that God's Word can be simple. The man of God had just instructed that he go and he dip 7 times in Jordan. And then he raised a question, "Are not the waters back at home better than the waters of the Jordan? Can I not dip there and be healed?" Well, that's not what the instruction was. The instruction was, go dip 7 times in Jordan, and when you do, you'll be healed. But notice verse 13. "His servants came near and spake unto him and said, My father, if the prophet had bid thee do some great thing, would have shall not have done it. How much more, rather, then, when he saith unto thee, wash and be clean. Now I want you to think about that phrase. Wash and be clean. In the thinking of a lot of people today, that's been too simplistic. Perhaps in the thinking of Naaman, that's too simple. Can I just go do something? Can I go somewhere else for a different reason and get the same benefit? Are people not like that today? You take a statement such as Mark 16:16 that is so simple, he that believeth and, the compound sentence joined together by the conjunction and, wash and be clean, believe and be baptized, and people get all upset about that. If Jesus had said, do some great thing, wouldn't you have done it? How much more so when he said, believe and be baptized and be saved? Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ. Except your opinion shall likewise perish. Confess me before me in Matthew 10:32-33. And yet people won't do it today. Had I been Naaman, people might say, I would have gladly just, really, look at the religious world today. And the gospel is so simple you have to have help to misunderstand it. And yet people today get all up in at arms and in an uproar and don't want to do simple things that the Bible says. Forsake not the assembling of ourselves together as a manner of some is, Hebrews 10:25, and you think about where the saints of God. Better things to do? I beg to differ. I want you to think about that. Oh, I would have done this and that. Why are we so convinced that we would have done something so much more when we won't even take the simplicity of the Scriptures for what it says and the instruction that it gives? Don't be looking for something to be so in-depth that the simple things get by. It's kind of like that saying, you miss the forest because you were looking at the trees. I want you to think about that. We need book, chapter, and verse, simple preaching today. You need to be on guard when you hear Bible class teachers or preachers. Now, next time we'll get so in-depth with it. Now, we'll go a little bit deeper. Really? God's will is simple. And we need to obey what it says. But we also learn, number 8, from Naaman the leper, that one must do what God says. Have we learned that lesson? You think Naaman learned the lesson? Verse 14 says, then he went down. The instruction was given. I ain't got an uproar about it. Enraged about it. Angry about it. Wroth about it. His servants talked to him about it. And then in verse 14, then he went down. And dipped himself 7 times in Jordan according to the saying of the man of God. And his flesh came again like unto the flesh of a little child. And he was clean. Naaman was able to see that day that one must do the bidding of the Lord exactly the way the Lord says to do it if you want the benefits that are to follow. Jesus said, not everyone that saith to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say, remember that? Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, we not prophesied in thy name, done many wonderful works, and cast out devils in thy name. Depart from me, the Lord is saying. I never knew you, ye that were iniquity. Revelation 22:14 talks about obedience. A host of Bible passages talk about the necessity to obey. Lessons learned from a leper. I ask you the question, have you learned these lessons? Have you learned the lesson that tomorrow may not come? Ecclesiastes 9 and in verse 5, for the living know that they shall die. We go to funerals. You can go down to the London Cemetery just down the street. Full of people who perhaps thought that they would have tomorrow.
Amen.
You may be in the audience this morning thinking that you have tonight, you have tomorrow. You may not. You may not, but you have right now.
And folks, I'll tell you, if you will not obey the gospel, do what the Lord says to do, and you die in that condition, you know heaven will not be your home, but in eternity in the fires of hell, where the worm dieth not and the fires not quench. And God's been merciful to grant you an opportunity to respond. The only way you can become a Christian is hearing the gospel and believing that Jesus is the Son of God. Do you believe that? John 8:24. Will you repent of all of your sins that you've committed? Turn from them. Begin to serve God. Matthew 21. Acts 3:19. Repent and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. Stand before those present this morning and say out of your own mouth, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. The Lord commands that in Matthew 10:32-33. Not a head shake or not or uh-huh, but I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Will you be baptized for the remission of your sins? Acts 2:38. To be added to the one body, 1 Corinthians 12:13. All things are ready. In fact, there's quality in the back that you can change, be baptized, and put your dry clothes back on so hardly any inconvenience to you at all. Maybe you have done that, but you turned from the Lord and turned your back on Him, and you've got yourself all muddied up with sin again. Separated yourself from God as a result of your sin. Why not repent of those things? Make confession to God in prayer that He'll restore you to faithfulness. We'll pray with you for you. Come right now.